check in with the Friday Night Lights and Chicago Radio's only prep football scores, stats, and stories program on 720 WGN. This is Preps Plus Chicago with your host, Sam Panionovich.
Two pilots in the cockpit, per usual, not just one. It's Preps Plus Chicago. Away we go, 720 WGN, Season 7, Week 3. Sam Panionovich and Kevin Powell, what's up?
It's good to be here, Sammy. Season is rolling on. Still high school football, it just flies by. Week 3, 9 regular season games.
And I think right now, if I were to check on the temperature gauge, it would say about 75. Is that right?
It's good weather out there.
73 right now.
Quality football weather.
Don't get used to it, though.
No.
Because pretty soon it'll be snowing and raining and sleeting, but that's the football weather that we
can... Juicy matchups tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some good ones. You've got 19 of the top 20 in action tonight. Number 2, Lincoln Way East against number 5, Homewood Flossmoor. Number 1, Loyola at number 4, Mount Carmel. Another top 20 showdown. Number 12, Maine South at number 19, Barrington. We'll talk to Mike Helfgott, as always, after the 10:30 news. Our coach this week is from St. Ignatius. They're on the south side of Chicago. Their head coach, John O'Connor, has brought the Wolfpack to their first 3-0 start since the 1950s. It's a long time. Some of you weren't born the last time St. Ignatius won their first three games. So he will join us in about 8 minutes from now on Preps Plus. You know the deal. If we have scores, we want you to have them. 312-981-7200. Kevin will give you scores at 10:15, 10:35, and 10:55. We'll begin the show this week with Mike Clark from the Chicago Tribune. Mike, I promise we didn't bump you last week, so let's get that out of the way. What's the scene out there? A top five game, Lincoln Way East and Homewood Flossmoor. What's the score?
28-28, 8:29 left in the fourth.
So people are getting their money's worth. The tickets are well spent. That's number 2 against number 5. Has it just been back and forth all game, or did somebody have to claw back in?
Yeah, it's been pretty much back and forth the whole game. It's been kind of a crazy game. One of the things we saw tonight is a first for me. HF tried an 82-yard field goal, which wound up basically being a long punt because Lincoln Way East fielded it. If they just let it go, obviously it would have gone back to the line of scrimmage, but Lincoln Way East did field it. Other than that, big plays offensively on both sides. Brian Wright from HF, the quarterback who replaced Bryce Gray, who's off playing baseball at Notre Dame, has 3 touchdowns tonight, 2 passing and a rushing touchdown. And Lincoln Way East is going with the 2 quarterback system pretty effectively. They've got 2 quarterbacks who've both thrown for over 100 yards tonight, so a lot of things you don't often see.
Can we get a repeat on the distance of that field goal attempt, Mike?
82 yards.
What? I don't understand. I've never heard of that. What was the thought process?
Yeah, what's
there?
The logic?
Well, we're not really sure what happened. We don't know if their punter is out or if they just prefer not to punt. But, yeah, that's what we saw, and I don't think I'll ever see that again.
That's a lot of talent if you can kick 180-plus yards. On a kickoff, maybe, when you run up, you can knock it through. You also wrote about this game, Mike. Well, you wrote about Homewood Flossmoor and their ability to replenish talent. They lose the Harley Hamptons. They lose Gray, like you said, their quarterback. How impressive is the Vikings' ability to just retool year after year?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Of course, they also got a pretty good running back in from Stagg. Herbert Hughes transferred in. He's got a 78-yard touchdown tonight, too, and over 150 yards rushing already. So they've grown some homegrown, obviously, and they also had a pretty good transfer come in, too.
Number 2, Lincoln Way East, and number 5, Homewood Flossmoor, all tied up, 28-28, fourth quarter?
Yeah, 7 minutes left.
Mike Clark is on the scene. You can follow the updates on Twitter, at Mike Clark Preps. We'll talk to you in Week 4, Mike. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Let's do what we always do at this time, 10:15. Let's get our first check of the Preps Plus scoreboard with Kevin Powell.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago scoreboard.
All right, as always, we'll start with the top 20, give you the scores as they come in. Again, as you just heard, Lincoln Way East and Homewood Flossmoor, they're tied late, 28-28. That's a 2-versus-5 matchup. Number 1, Loyola taking on number 4, Mount Carmel. Loyola leads late, 35-28 in the fourth quarter. Glenbard West up big over at York, 35-7. That's late in the fourth quarter. Neuqua Valley topped number 7, Waubonsie Valley, 24-17. That was a 7-8 matchup. So as we get the top 20 scores, we will relay them to you around the state. Scores rolling in. Morris over Quincy, Notre Dame, 48-7. Plainfield South over Plainfield Central, 14-12. Shepherd over Evergreen Park, 24-7. Marist topped Carmel, 27-8. Rock Island, 43. Richwoods, 14. Eisenhower beat Jacksonville, 46-27. Peoria over Urbana, 79-0. Sacred Heart Griffin over Lincoln, 62-0. Muhammad Seymour blanked Olympia, 24-0. Glenbrook North edged out Hersey, 21-19. Naperville Central, 28. Mattia, 25. Schaumburg over Niles West, 35-28. And St. Ignatius, a 51-0 win over DePaul College Prep.
Chucky P!
And we'll be talking to St. Ignatius head coach John O'Connor next, so stay tuned for that. Big win for them. They go 3-0 for the first time since the 1950s. That's a look at your Preps Plus scoreboard update.
Weekday mornings, it has everything you need to know, some things you need to see. WGN-TV Morning News, Chicago's must-watch morning news. John O'Connor, the head coach of the undefeated St. Ignatius Wolfpack, coming up next.
Back to the Friday Night Lights and Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
Sam Panionovich and Kevin Powell have Preps Plus until 11 o'clock, and then I believe Patty's back in town. Pretty Lady's up next. We'll find out at 11, I guess. Let's go back to the phones here. And by the way, we have an update from the Lincoln Way East Homewood-Flossmoor game. The Griffins number 2, the Vikings number 5. HF winning 35-28 with about 5 minutes left. So that's the update there. Let's bring in now John O'Connor, who's the head coach at St. Ignatius. The Wolfpack now 3-0. Big win, coach. Congrats to you and the staff. 51-0. I'm sure that's an easy one to swallow afterwards. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Sam.
So what's the story going on right now around St. Ignatius? I know you're building a program. This is year 3 for you. One win in year 1. 6 wins. You make the playoffs last year. How have you been able to get this ball moving and keep it moving?
It's all about the assistant coaches. These guys, everybody works outside the building. Everyone dedicates so much time here. Our kids are the most prepared team we see week in and week out. And I could not be prouder for a group of people than I am the assistant coaches. These guys stuck with me through year 1. Things weren't always as well as we liked them to have gone in year 1. And they just had a little bit of faith in me and faith in the program. And the assistant coaches, for the amount of time and effort they put in, have really put the kids in a different atmosphere and a great opportunity to succeed this season.
How much commitment does it take, players, coaches, medical staff, all of that, to go through the tough times but somehow still stick together? It makes you stronger, I know, but how challenging is that to go through the bad when you don't even know what's coming on the other side?
It's not easy, and it has a lot of dedication to the game of football and a lot of belief in the institution that you work for. You know, St. Ignatius prides itself in being Chicago's oldest institution, and our coaches are very fortunate to coach here. And we understand that, you know, this is about, you know, the kids, not the adults. And we only have 26 kids dressed for a varsity football team. And because we only have 26 kids, our coaches have to work twice as hard as most other programs that we play against, because we have to teach kids both the offense and defense side of the ball. So we have to teach them, you know, we have to coach them twice as hard.
Well, Coach, you've been around football quite a while. What are some of the philosophies you took there, taking over just a few short seasons ago, that you wanted to implement, things that you've seen work time and time again that you wanted to make sure were implanted into the system?
Sam, I was absolutely blessed. I played my high school career at Brother Rice High School. I played for two men that influenced me throughout my life, in Tom Mitchell and Billy Gleason. As I got a little bit older, I was able to coach for Frank Lenti at Mount Carmel. And I spent 1 year at Marist High School with Pat Dunn. And those are four different coaches with four different philosophies. But the one thing that just, you know, makes people win and makes people succeed, not only on the football field and in life, is work ethic. And our coaches come in and day out. They set a great example for our young men. And I don't care what you do the rest of your life, if you have a work ethic, you're going to be successful.
do you realize what you've done for that community? 3-0, that hasn't happened since the 1950s. I don't even think you were alive in the 1950s. That's an impressive feat. I don't care who you played. 3-0 is 3-0, and you guys are doing it big over there on the southwest side, the near southwest side, rather.
Well, Sam, as I told you this afternoon, you and I met. You know, I was born in 1943, and I was around for that St. Ignatius team in the 1950s. That was a real, you know, good St. Ignatius team. But the one thing that we've done is, you know, just we've got our kids to buy in. And we've got a little bit better every year. And it's just a testament those kids are on the first two teams. You know, our first team, hats off to those kids. I came in as a new coach. We went 1-8, but six of those eight losses, we were within a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And those seniors really deserve better. Last year, you know, we kind of, you know, broke through and we made the state playoffs for the first time in a long time. And now these juniors, seniors, and we have four sophomores playing with us this year, they really, really believe that, you know, they owe it to those people that played before them. We had an expression here, drink the water, but remember who dug the well. And they know that they, you know, owe a little bit something to those people that came before them in the program.
Coach, what's this experience? This is Kevin, by the way, partner on the side of Sam Panayotovich. What's this experience been like for you personally, taking over a program that was struggling, just 26 kids on the varsity squad? What's it been like for you to see the progress over the last 3 years, and how difficult was it for you to get this program back on its feet?
It's been very humbling. I kind of came here with a little sense of arrogance, having some success as assistant coach at the high school level. And I thought just by, you know, me walking in, I could turn something around. And it's been humbling in the fact that I realized how hard you really have to work. And I just owe it to the coaches, specifically Pete DiStallo, Mark Bielan, and Ted Busby. They stuck with me through year one, and there were definitely some bumpy times there. And they just, you know, had a little bit of faith in me in the program. We got some new coaches in year two, and Chuck Polonis and Matt Miller. Mike Whalen came on board year three, and we just kind of have a continuity now that every great coaching staff and every great team has, and that we're able to, you know, kind of feed off each other, kids feed off of us, and it just, you know, has been working out as an entire program.
That's John O'Connor, head coach of St. Ignatius in Chicago. The Wolfpack beat DePaul College Prep tonight 51-0. They are 3-0. They are undefeated. What are you chasing? Is there a team you're chasing? Is there a goal you're chasing? How do you keep this team hungry? What's at the end of the tunnel?
We always want to raise the bar in everything we do. We told the kids, ironically, week two we played Whitney Young, the Dolphins, and there's a coaching-ism out there that how you train a dolphin, you just keep raising the bar. So every day we come to practice, we want to raise the bar. We want to be better, you know, today than we were yesterday, and we want to be better tomorrow than we were today. So if we keep, you know, raising that bar and, you know, raising our goals, we're always going to progressively get better.
St. Ignatius will make the playoffs if what? Because I know you know that this is not – you're still getting started this season. You're not going to accept 3-0. Your players aren't going to accept it. You guys will make the playoffs back-to-back years if what?
You know, Tom Brady is the best quarterback in professional football, maybe the history of the game for a reason. People ask him what's his favorite championship, and he says the next one. Our kids have never, ever overlooked any opponent. You know, we worked for DePaul this past week, and no one even, you know, some people might say this could have been a kind of a trap game because we got Providence coming up next, but our kids were just 100% focused on DePaul. And they realized even after this game, you know, we had a lopsided score tonight, but Coach Jeske and his staff, I really have the utmost respect for, and their quarterback, Jonathan Gladstone, broke his foot in the fourth quarter of their game last Saturday, and it probably would have been a much different game if he had played. And our kids understand that and appreciate that. But, you know, give them some credit. You know, they came out tonight. They put it together. They had a great, great game. And our kids realize we're kind of on the big stage now. We're 3-0 playing a Catholic League Blue team that played, I believe they won a state championship 2 years ago. And we're not going back down from the challenge.
51-0, St. Ignatius beats DePaul College Prep. 3-0 for the first time since the 1950s. And John O'Connor and his staff have this program in the right direction. If you don't know about the school, it's on Roosevelt between, I think, what is it, Morgan and Halstead and the field. You could see the Sears Tower from the 50-yard line. It's a gorgeous view. It's a gorgeous field. Program on the rise. We'll be rooting for you down the road, Coach. Thanks for coming on. Tell the boys we said hello, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sam, I appreciate the opportunity to represent St. Ignatius tonight, and go Pack.
John O'Connor, head coach of St. Ignatius. Kevin, you look like you were going to say something there.
Thank you, Coach. I just received a text from Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. Uh-huh. Quinn Manfredini, former tight end and safety for the Wolfpack.
Yes. There you go, Lou. Well, I'll have the score for you again in case you forget. 51-0.
51-0.
St. Ignatius. They're 3-0, first time since the 1950s. We have to grab a timeout, then Rob has your news, 720 WGN.
Now, Preps Plus Chicago. Scoreboard.
All right, here we go. We'll start with the top 20 as always. And Lou Manfredini, here's your Niles Notre Dame score. Actually, this is outside the top 20, but a nice win for Notre Dame. 22, Nazareth 17.
No, that's a top 20. Nazareth's in the top 20.
There we go. Number 14, Nazareth. My bad. I'm mixing myself up. Notre Dame, an even bigger win than I thought. 22-17 win over 14th-ranked Nazareth. Number one, Loyola leads 35-28 late in the game against Mount Carmel. Lincoln Way East and Homewood Flossmoor locked up 28-28 late in the fourth quarter as well. We'll get you those as they become final. Number three, Glenbard West up big over York, 35-7. Neuqua Valley, a 24-17 win over number seven, Waubonsie Valley. Neuqua over Waubonsie, 24-17. That was a 7-8 matchup. Palatine cruised to a 34-13 win over Glenbrook South. Prairie Ridge rolling over Crystal Lake Central. They lead 48-14 late in that game. Number 12, Maine South, taking on number 19, Barrington. And Barrington up big, 41-20 late in the game.
Wow.
Again, that's a number 12-19 matchup. That's a look at your top 20. We'll get you some other scores here around the area. Eisenhower over Jacksonville, 46-27. Rochester beat Springfield Southeast, 44-7. Chicago Peyton, 14. Whitney Young, 6. Peoria, huge win over Urbana, 79-0. Sacred Heart Griffin rolled.
Wait. 79-0?
79-0.
Ooh.
Nice victory for Peoria. Sacred Heart Griffin rolled 62-0 over Lincoln. Muhammad Seymour blanked Olympia, 24-0. My Hershey Huskies, Sammy, they fell once again. My preseason pep talk to the team not working out so well right now. They lost 21-19 to Glenbrook North. It was a close one, though.
It doesn't matter. Joey and I were talking about that. We said, you know that they're 0-3 since Kevin came in and did the pep talk for the team.
All right, I'm going to have to do a midseason chat with the Huskies.
Call the coach right now.
And we'll call Coach Pardon. He's probably not too happy. Naperville Cetra beat Mattia 28-25. Schaumburg over Niles West 35-28. Peoria Notre Dame over Normal Community 21-14. Again, St. Ignatius 51-0 victory over DePaul College Prep. Aurora Central Catholic topped Glenbard South 27-13. And St. Rita clawed their way back to beat Providence 32-31 in overtime. Glenbard North beats Wheaton Warrenville South 47-31. That's a look at your Preps Plus scoreboard update.
All right, thank you, Kevin. As we always do, we'll go back into the field and talk to some of our reporters that work in the Chicago Tribune family. Rich Mayer covered the win. That was Glenbrook North beating Hersey at Hersey, 21-19. Rich, thanks for coming back on. Kevin went to Hersey. He gave the team a pep talk before the season. They are now 0-3. Console him. What did Hersey do that will make him a little bit happier and easier to work with?
You know, I think maybe they listened back to the pep talk with about 16 minutes left in the game because they scored the final 19 points and got stuffed with a minute to go on a two-point conversion that would have tied it. So they started very slow, but they finished really strong. So I'm sure the pep talk did something.
Thank you. It makes me feel a little bit better.
It's a gold star in your cereal.
Hersey's quarterback, Goldsberry, junior. Big things from him. I know he led a couple nice drives. What did you see from him, the junior quarterback, and how did he look out there?
He looked great. He was struggled a little early, and then coming out in the half, something clicked, and he was very despondent afterwards, to say the least. But he looked great. He can run. Every single thing that they do is through him. Mm-hmm. And he really, really thrived down the stretch and under pressure.
That's the home of John Shire, by the way, Glenbrook North. Let's talk about them now. They're 3-0. That hasn't happened there. It doesn't happen that often with the Glenbrook North fan base. What's the mood like there? What was their atmosphere?
You know, they won, but afterward, it didn't seem like they'd won. I mean, they said that they're used to being a first half team. They get up big and then they kind of let their foot off the gas. And the coach said at half, you know, we're up 21. That's, or we're up 14. They were up 14 and then they were up 21, 5 minutes into the third quarter. And he kept saying, this isn't enough. A couple big plays and it's right back to being a game. So that's, you know, that's exactly what happened. And so they got some things to tighten up and they got to keep their foot on the gas for, you know, the entire game, but they showed a lot of good things as well.
On Twitter, at CityHall03, Rich Mayer in the Chicago Tribune football family. You've been covering the scene for a while. I don't think I've gotten your take on this yet, but if it does happen, and some people that I talk to think that it's inevitable, and we see that split in the playoffs, and it's private on one side and public on the other, are you on board with that? What do you think?
Oh, man, you sprung it on me. I would say that it would be interesting, certainly, and to keep, you know, get the excitement up even greater than it already is. I think, you know, as long as no one's harmed in the process, as long as it can generate excitement, I think that's the only thing that we'd be looking for.
A lot of the public coaches, the sentiments are that we only have X amount of zip codes, right? We have three or four that we can go to. We can't go outside of that range yet. Everybody else can come into our backyard and take our players. So there's this growing feeling that it's inevitable, and at least the proposal will slide across the table. I don't know if they sign it or not, but this thing is picking up some steam.
It's certainly worth tracking, and you know, if the public coaches don't like it, that's really unfortunate. I hope, you know, for their sake, it doesn't go through the way that, you know, that it may.
Well, now you got the public schools in Chicago that might have a teachers union strike. So who knows what will happen in this city. We appreciate you coming on, Rich. Thank you. The final score, Glenbrook North 21, Hersey 19. That's Rich Mayer of the Chicago Tribune. Take care, Rich.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
So, Kev,
I know.
They came back. They rallied.
You know what?
Clawed back.
Likely what happened is Coach Joe Pardon looked at his team, looked him in the eyes. He said, remember Kevin Powell's speech in the preseason, boys? Remember that? And that got them fired up. They battled their way back, but just came up a little short.
If they had five quarters, maybe, you know, you could have maybe won. We're looking for some clarification on this 82-yard field goal, by the way.
Somebody
tweeted in that if the ball, not like in college and pro, where a return man can catch the kick and run it back. It happened in that Alabama-Auburn game a couple years back in the Iron Bowl. It's happened in the NFL. I think Devin Hester back a missed kick. There was an 82-yard attempt, which essentially worked as a punt. Obviously, it was not good. There's no high school kid with a leg that strong. There's no NFL player with a leg that strong. But there was an 82-yard field goal attempt today in Chicagoland football. So,
Sam, I think we should also plug, if you go to WGNradio.com, at the top there's our Preps Plus Chicago live high school football scoreboard. Click on that link. And it's a score stream update, all your scores. So if you miss any of the updates we're giving you throughout the show, go to WGNradio.com. There's a link near the top of the site, and you can scroll through our little handy-dandy scoreboard there and get any scores you're looking for.
You can also get more scores in 10 minutes. Kevin will give you a full report. Up next on Preps Plus, we will talk to the lead Chicago Tribune Preps writer, Mike Helfgott. The coach will join us coming up, 720 WGN.
Chicagoland's only high school football scores, stats, and stories program. This is Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN.
He goes to the best games in high school football pretty much every week. That's his job, and he writes about it for the Chicago Tribune in the paper. Always great stuff. You can catch him most days in the paper, but it's heavy on Friday and Saturday as high school football rolls on. We're in week three, and this is Preps Plus Chicago on 720 WGN. I'm Sam Panionovich. He's Kevin Powell. And we bring in now the coach, Mike Helfgott, who is sponsored by Lumonati's, home of Chicago's Deep Dish Pizza. Find one of 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online, lumonati's.com. Coach, I'm a little bit sad. Mount Carmel loses to Loyola. Great game. Loyola 35, Mount Carmel 28. It ended in the end zone. Mount Carmel had a chance to tie it up.
They did. You can at least kind of take heart in the fact that they had a really nice comeback. Alec Thomas Jr. just looks like a whale of a player. He's also maybe the best baseball player in the state. But, Mark Carmel's got a really exciting player in him. They threw two halfback option passes from Michael Kennedy late for their comeback. They were down 35-14, got all the way to about the 11, down 7, but the game ended Loyola 35, Mount Carmel 28.
That's a matchup I want to see again in the playoffs. I think we could all get on board for that one.
Yeah, I don't know if Mount Carmel may be 7A, though. I don't know that the playoff matchup is going to be possible.
Are they the two best teams in the state right now, you think?
Boy, real hard to say, you know. I mean, I don't even know what the final was between Lincoln Way East and HF.
Lincoln Way East lost.
HF 35-28.
Oh, same score. No, you know what? Loyola has, you know, both of these teams, I think, right now have too many weaknesses to just go ahead and say they're clearly the best two teams in the state. Loyola really, you know, pounded them at the line of scrimmage, running the ball. Loyola's defense is a lot more susceptible than we're used to from them. So, I mean, they're ranked up there, but I'm not sure that these are the best two teams right now.
I know John Holoshek, the head coach at Loyola, I know he hates going against that triple option for the Caravan. Did Mount Carmel get it going a little bit too late? It sounds like they struggled early. You said they picked up steam late, but looks like the Ramblers' defense was able to hold serve early in the game at least.
They were. I mean, it was more big plays. I mean, Mount Carmel took their first drive. Was a great drive, just ran the ball right down the field. But after that, it wasn't. They weren't just getting chunks of yards and having these long Mount Carmel type drives. It was more big plays. Like I said, this kid Thomas is just an electrifying player, and he's kind of sharing the quarterback position right now with Dan Trudeau. And when Thomas is in there, I mean, it's just kind of there's not a whole lot of secret. He's probably keeping the ball, but he's really fun to watch.
This is Loyola, a team that is known for its defense and its special teams. They gave up 40-plus last week to Maine South and give up almost 30 tonight against Mount Carmel. I'm sure that defensive coordinator is not too pleased.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the way Mount Carmel scored his points tonight, it's not as big of a deal because there aren't teams that run the option and run it like Mount Carmel left on Loyola's schedule probably anyway. But it also leaves Loyola not knowing if it's done anything to improve its pass defense because they really got shredded by Maine South last week.
Hey, Mike, turning our attention away from that game, I want to talk quickly about a piece you had in the Trib that was in there today talking about, well, a little bit of a few players, actually, based out of the western suburbs. Jake Colby, who's taken over starting duties at Illinois State, will go against Clayton Thorson in the Northwestern Wildcats tomorrow. Brock's back. It recruited 5 players from the western suburbs. How deep is that? I mean, is that in terms of recruiting, is that the hottest area for coaches right now, the western burbs and DuPage Valley Conference?
I mean, I think the western burbs and the Catholic League, you know, probably produce the most players. But, yeah, year after year after year, and particularly the DuPage Valley Conference, I mean, you know, those are all good teams. Those are all solid programs. You know, these are big suburban schools with resources. And it kind of stands to reason, you know, they would be the ones that would be the most consistently producing, you know, these kind of players.
Well, that was my next question. Why? Is it strictly the size of these schools and having deeper talent pools?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much we would want to get into socioeconomics here tonight, mm-hmm. but I think that probably plays a role as well.
Let's take a look at the situation that Phillips is facing. They won a state title last year. They are facing something pretty serious, and it's out of their control, the players and coaches at least. The other CPS schools are all in this issue together. We may have a teachers union strike in Chicago Public Schools. I mean, all these kids want to do is play football, and they might be, you know, they might be losing that privilege if this strike goes through.
I mean, it's definitely an awful, unfortunate, you know, consequence of something like that. But at the same time, I'm not, you know, it's only, you know, it's a part of the issue. And obviously it's what we're talking about right now on this show. But, you know, I don't know if that can be a factor in whether or not, you know, these teachers do what they feel like they have to do.
We had head coach John O'Connor on from St. Ignatius. They're 3-0 for the first time since the 1950s. And he's only using 26 players at the varsity level. He said, trust me, it is 10 times harder than it sounds. 3-0, but you only have 26 players. And, oh, by the way, they have Providence next week. Though it's hard not to pay attention to what they're doing over there in Ignatius. They hadn't made the playoffs in a long time. They made the playoffs last year, and that's a program in the white that I think doesn't get much attention.
Well, I mean, you know, it just goes to show you what a coach can do. You know, in football, I think more than any other sport, coaching can really, really have an impact and really has you know, is probably the number one thing. Even more, I don't know, can't say maybe more than the players, but coaching is really everything in high school football.
All right, Mike, here comes a serious hard-hitting question. Yeah, I brought
ready.
It up last week.
Get ready.
Just wondering if you had any time to do some research, maybe break down a top 10 for us, top concessions throughout the Illinois high school football landscape.
You know, the pinochle sandwich over there at Gateway Central.
Okay, what is...
I would go with that.
What does that entail? What is it called?
The pinochle sandwich at Gateway Central.
I feel like this is...
I'm writing this down.
I feel like this isn't a real thing.
Yeah, I would go with that feeling, Sam.
Yeah, Kevin's actually writing it down. That's fantastic.
You got me, Mike.
He actually was writing it down.
Classic joke.
I feel like that's the way. By the way, I meant to get to this a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot. You wrote that piece on Todd Frazier for the Little League, right?
I did.
What was that like, talking to Todd Frazier, who's been a Major League All-Star? He's got a hella home runs, and you get him to go back and turn the page back to his Little League days. What did you learn there that you didn't know?
Well, actually, I covered him as a high school player. I worked in New Jersey for 11 years out of college. So I was at the Star Ledger, which is the big paper in New Jersey, starting in that Little League run, and I watched him as a high school player. So that was kind of how that, you know, that came about. And talking to him was great. I mean, everybody talks about what a great guy he is, and he really is. I mean, he's really, and it's rare anymore, professional athletes to kind of let you see the side of him. He's the kind of guy you'd want to just kind of go have a beer and shoot the bull with, and seems like a guy that would do it.
Final score tonight, Loyola 35, Mount Carmel 28 at Gately, one of the best places to watch a high school football game. Mike Helfgott was on the scene. You can read him in the paper pretty much all weekend long in the Chicago Tribune. He's on Twitter, at MHelfgott, and he's brought to you by Lou Malnati's coach. Always appreciate your time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, coach. Take care.
Mike Helfgott tags out. Let's bring in Bob Narang. Bob, let's get through some business first here. I understand that you had a flat tire and a dead cell phone last week. Go ahead, defend yourself.
Oh, yeah, and then week one is 11 o'clock ending, and week three, a 10:58 ending. So I've had three incredible, unique weekends.
I don't know what you did to the football gods, but at least they gave you a good game today offensively. Barrington 41, Maine South 27. The Hawks fall to 1-2. What happened?
You know what? In the first quarter, both teams combined for 7 points. It didn't look like much of an offensive game. Then, boom, the game just changed. Ray Nero, Barrington's quarterback, started gashing him through the middle with his runs. Logan Mays did a great job as a tailback. And then they rode those two for the first 2.5 quarters. And after that, once you saw Maine South, you know, bringing up the safeties up, bringing in the box, 8-9 box, they started going aerial on them. And Barrington had almost 500 yards passing. But in this game, you'd think the defense didn't do much for Barrington. But Barrington's defense played outstanding until the last probably 6-8 minutes.
Were you shocked by – it looks like it wasn't really all that close. I think Barrington, you throw up 40 on somebody. I don't think I was expecting that, to see Maine South give up 40.
No, but you know what? It might just be a byproduct of when you play three very tough teams, including two defending champions back-to-back, then you go against a 9-win team from last year, an 8-8 powerhouse like Barrington. I think they're just gassed after 3 weeks. They got here late. You know, the game started late. They thought it was going to be delayed, and – you know, and got to give credit, though, at the same time to Barrington. Their offensive line is incredible.
You know what? I think Dave and Sarah, we had him on the program last week, the head coach of Maine South. He'll have that team ready. I promise you they're going to roll through the Central Suburban. He'll have them back in the playoffs. And as you and I both know, Bob, these games will make them better down the road.
Oh, yeah. When you play a competition like this, you're talking Montini, Loyola, and then Barrington the first 3 weeks. After that, everything seems easier. And you got to give him credit for scheduling these type teams, but that's what makes you better in October.
He's on Twitter at Bob Narang. All four tires on the car, cell phone plugged in. He's on Twitter at Bob Narang. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Bob Narang. As we say goodbye to Bob, we will get you our final check of the scores with Kevin Powell. I didn't have my amp.
Is that my intro? Okay.
I didn't have my amp plugged in.
The band has arrived. That is okay, Loyola. Number one, Loyola over Mount Carmel in a good one, 35-28 win there. Number two, Lincoln Way East falls to Homewood Flossmoore, 35-30. That was a 2-5 matchup. Glenbard West, the third-ranked team in the Preps Plus Top 20. Glenbard West tops York, 42-7. Brother Rice over Aurora Christian, 45-6. Palatine beat Glenbrook South, 34-13. Niqua, a 24-17 win over Waubonsie. That was a 7-8 matchup. Prairie Ridge over Crystal Lake Central, 48-14. Number 11, Oak Park, rolled over Morton, 62-13. And as you just heard, Barrington, number 19, over number 12, Maine South, a 41-27 convincing win. Nazareth falls to Notre Dame. Niles, Notre Dame, a 22-17 win over 14th-ranked Nazareth. 15th-ranked Fenwick over Montini, 38-6. Batavia cruised to a 56-7 win over Streamwood. St. Charles North, the 18th-ranked team over Larkin, 38-0. And Libertyville squeaks out a close one over Warren, 28-26. So that rounds out your top 20. If you want more scores, you can get ahead to WGNradio.com. We have a live score stream feed for you throughout the night and get all your latest scores there. That's your Preps Plus scoreboard update.
Patty Vasquez joins the party in 30 seconds. Hi, hey, welcome back. It's 11 o'clock on the Screws. We welcome in Patty Vasquez. She's on time today. I think the first time ever in Preps Plus history.
Woo-hoo!
Hi, Patty.
Is that a backhanded compliment?
Oh, it's
there?
Fine. I'll take it. Wow. I'm always just, I give you guys space. I want to make sure you get everything
no,
done.
No, I mean,
I'm here.
We're not late. That's what I meant. Like, oh. We're finally getting it to you at 11 o'clock as opposed to like 11:02. Well, did that come out the wrong way,
yeah,
Rob?
It came out the wrong way. You were making it sound like Patty showed up late to her own
show, which is not the case.
Because
Patty's here.
If you'd like.
No, no, no. We're always late for you. We're always late for you.
No. Don't call attention. When you do something wrong, the best thing to do is not call attention to it. Like just move on.
It's pretty true. Let's thank John O'Connor, head coach of San Ignatius. What are you laughing at, Serrano?
He knows from personal experience.
Get behind a microphone if you want to talk some smack.
Let's
also thank
get out of his spot.
Mike Helfgott from the Chicago Tribune. Anything you may have missed, WGNRadio.com. Search for Preps Plus. Thanks to Rob. Thanks to Roger. Thanks to Joey Gelman. And, of course, thanks to you, Kev.
Thank you, buddy.
What's coming up on the fun zone tonight?
We've got the weekend wind-up where Rob Martier and I disagree about everything. Not really. Just in a jovial way. All the things you should not talk about at the bars this weekend. And then what's in the box, of course.
And Elliot's parking key still works to come back in the building. Your mic is on if you want to say something.
Yeah, it works.
And Hannah Stanley's here, too.
Well, normally you guys roll in with like a bottle of wine in your hand.
The bartender
and
will be here.
Okay, I was wondering what was happening here.
Bartender,
it's 11 on Friday. Where's Patty and her booze?
Howls and Hood at midnight.
There it is raining. Go. I shouldn't drive. You know, I might as well just stay.
Hang out.
There's a couch. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. WGNradio.com. Patty, Elliot, Hannah up next. It's pretty late on 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. Here is Rob Martier.